Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Again today, I'm teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith. This is one of the teachings that has transformed my life, and specifically, I'm talking about entering into the rest. And I took this from Hebrews chapter 4, where it talks about there remains a rest to the people of God. I've already spent 3 or 4 days talking about this. And yesterday, I was into this passage in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Let me go back and read that again. It says, "Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days." There are 5 things listed there. And it says in verse 17, "which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." And so these verses clearly say that these Old Testament things listed, these 5 things, were shadows of a New Testament reality that is fulfilled in Christ. Now that we have Christ and the new covenant, we don't worship the shadow. We don't follow the shadow. We embrace the person of Christ. And so this is basically saying that we are no longer under these things. Now again, there's 5 things listed in verse 16. 4 of the 5 things, people, basically the Christians as a whole, agree that it has been fulfilled and we don't follow these rituals and these laws, even though they were in the Bible and they were commands by God, that they were until Christ came. And now that we have Christ, we are no longer under these laws. The first one that we started talking about yesterday, it says, "Don't let any man judge you in meat." This is talking about that there were dietary laws given in the Old Covenant about how you couldn't eat pork, you couldn't eat any shellfish, things like shrimp, clams, any of that kind of stuff. You couldn't eat any of that. There was other dietary laws. And those things were only types and shadows of a New Testament reality. In the New Testament, it says, "Whatsoever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God." In the Old Testament, it was phrased as "don't eat pork and don't eat this." But the point was, you were just supposed to glorify God in the way that you eat. And in the New Testament, I read these verses at the close of yesterday's broadcast. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that it is a doctrine of the devil to forbid people to eat certain types of meat. Yet that was the direction, that was the instruction in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's a doctrine of the devil if you tell people that. You know, there's people, I'm not going to mention their names. I'm not against an individual. I'm just against this wrong teaching. I'm not going to mention their names or the book. Most of you would know exactly who I was talking about if I was to be specific. But there is a person who's written a book about all of the Old Testament laws, and this is how God intended us to eat, and he doesn't say that it was a shadow of Christ. It isn't fulfilled in Christ. He says, no, it's still in effect today, and if you want to be healthy, this is the way you've got to do it. And they go into great detail about all of the things that you should do to cleanse your body, and he has a miraculous testimony of how it helped him and stuff. But what they don't tell you is that that very person's father was dying, and some friends of mine went and ministered to the father, and the father had tried all of the book, the things that were written in this book. This book made this person a multimillionaire, made millions and millions and millions of dollars. And yet this person couldn't help their own father. And they took all of these dietary laws and did it, and the father was dying. And these friends of mine ministered to him, and he was just miraculously healed. And then through that connection, the author of this book, who's made multiple millions, and many of you watching this program have been influenced and probably are living by it as if this is the only way to live. This person who wrote the book was sick and dying. And it's all, you know, I'm not mentioning names or stuff, but I'm saying that in order to maintain their status and the book as the answer to all of your physical problems, they've kept this hush, and people don't know it, but this very person had to be ministered to by these friends of mine. And God supernaturally healed him. It wasn't through the dietary laws. It was through faith. And it was through somebody who knew how to believe God that they got healed. What I'm saying is people have overemphasized this. And some people still today think we have to observe all of these dietary laws. But most of the body of Christ does not accept that. You know what? Many of you ate pork today, are going to eat pork. I think bacon must be my favorite food on the planet. Amen. I just love bacon. And praise God, I don't believe God's upset with me. I'm not breaking the law of God because it's now been fulfilled in Christ. And most people would say, well, I agree with that. See, and I agree. It says, don't let anybody judge you in meat because that's now been fulfilled. We now have the body of Christ. We don't have to worship the shadow or follow the shadow anymore. The next thing it talks about, it says, don't let them judge you in drink. There were certain things that you could drink and couldn't drink. There were restrictions on that. Most Christians aren't even aware of those commands in Scripture, so you apparently don't feel like you are in bondage to that. And I agree. That's now been fulfilled in Christ. The third thing it mentions, it says, don't let anybody judge you in respect of a holy day. Did you know that there were certain feasts, holy days in the Jewish culture that were commanded to be observed forever? The Passover, the Day of Atonement, all of these kind of things. And they were commanded to be observed forever. And yet, did you know that most Christians today don't observe the Passover? Because we now have the actual Passover, not the symbolic Passover where the death angel passed over the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. But it says that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus is the Passover. And the Lord's Supper is the fulfillment of the Passover. We now don't go and celebrate the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. We celebrate Jesus coming and giving His life and being our Passover lamb slain for us. And because of that, the death angel, not only the physical death, but the spiritual death, we have been redeemed from it. And we now celebrate that. So we don't go back and celebrate the Passover meal and the Feast of Tabernacles and the Day of Atonement because we now celebrate the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. So you don't have to observe all of these holy days. And most of the body of Christ agrees with that, that those were commanded in the Old Testament, but they're fulfilled in the New Testament, and you don't have to do it. Then the next thing it mentions, it says, or of the new moon. Don't let anybody judge you about the new moon. What is that talking about? Did you know that in the Bible it's commanded that you offer a sacrifice every new moon, a blood sacrifice? How many of you offered a blood sacrifice the last new moon? How many of you even know when the last new moon was? Amen. Well, again, see, people say, well, we aren't under that anymore. That's all fulfilled in Christ. I agree 100%. So there's five things listed in the 16th verse of Colossians chapter 2. Four of them we have clearly had fulfilled in Christ. But then the fifth thing, it says, also, don't let any man judge you of the Sabbath days. But when it comes to the Sabbath, did you know that most Christians today have missed the symbolism of the Sabbath that is now fulfilled in a Sabbath rest, in resting in what Jesus has already provided by grace. And they are still observing the ritual and the legalistic thing, thinking that somehow or another that is fulfilling what the Word of God says. But the Sabbath was meant to be a picture of our Sabbath rest, our resting in everything being provided through Jesus. And it was a picture, it was a type and a shadow. That's what Colossians 2, 16 and 17 says. Now there are five things listed, four of them, the body of Christ as a whole agrees, have now been fulfilled in Christ. But on the Sabbath, did you know that most Christians still feel that they're supposed to observe the Sabbath? And yet, It's kind of hypocritical the way that it's done, because if you were to really believe that we are supposed to observe the Sabbath, and if you go back and study what is given about the Sabbath, where a man picked up sticks on the Sabbath day and violated the law, and all he was doing was gathering some sticks so that he could cook a meal and warm his food, and Moses, it was told Moses what happened, and Moses and basically put him in jail, shut him up until they could hear from the Lord. And the Lord, in an audible voice, spoke and said, kill him, stone him to death, make an example out of him, show him no mercy. So if you really want to say that you're under the Sabbath, do you pick up sticks on the Sabbath day? Do you wash your dishes on the Sabbath day? Do you mow your lawn on the Sabbath day? Do you go for a jog? Do you run? If you just want to be legalistic and observe it, did you know that you could become very, very, very strict? I was raised in a home that, again, was stricter than most, but it still wasn't as strict as what the Scripture said. But you could never mow the lawn on a Sunday. We didn't wash dishes on the Sunday. We had a dishwasher, and you could put them in there, but, you know, sometimes we'd wash them by hand. You couldn't do stuff like that. We didn't work on the Sabbath. We didn't go to places that were open on Sunday. Even if it was during the week on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, if they were open on Sunday, I wouldn't go to it because they were Sabbath breakers. And we wouldn't go to the store. We wouldn't buy groceries on Sunday. Now, we would go out to eat on Sunday after church, which again is kind of a contradiction to that whole thing. It wasn't enforced completely. And the funny thing about all of this is that if you want to really keep the Sabbath isn't Sunday. The Sabbath is actually sunset Friday through to sunset Saturday. That is the literal Sabbath instituted in Scripture. And if people are going to keep the Sabbath, you would have to keep it from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. The Seventh-day Adventist, and I think there's a few other groups that observe that. But, you know, even at that, you're still missing the point. I believe that the reason that the church started meeting on Sunday is because the New Testament church recognized Jesus had changed everything. Hebrews makes a major point of this, that the whole law has been changed. Everything is different, that the law was weak and unprofitable, and it is now passed away, and we have a brand new covenant, a brand new relationship. And the New Testament church had a revelation of this, and so they made a very clear, distinct separation from the Old Testament Sabbath, and they didn't observe the Sabbath. They gathered on the first day of the week, Sunday. And it was because it was a statement that we are set free, we are redeemed from this Sabbath, and we now have a new relationship in the Lord. And yet there's entire groups of people. Some do it very small. They just go to church on Sunday, but then the rest of the day is totally theirs and they do whatever they want to. And then there's others that are more strict that will even meet from sundown Friday until sundown Saturday. And they're very strict in observing the Sabbath. And yet all of those, I'm going to say some things here that some of you might think I'm mean or I'm angry. I'm just trying to say these things to set people free. The people who are observing the letter and don't work and don't do these things and think that they're Sabbath keepers, they are the Sabbath breakers. Because the Sabbath, according to these verses, were a picture, a shadow of something that was to come in Christ. And that's what I've been teaching on for a whole week out of Hebrews chapter 4. It pictured a relationship with God, where everything was done and you rested in Him. And it wasn't just symbolic. It demanded some actual compliance. While the rest of the world was working 7 days out of the week, the Jews were to take 1 day out of seven off. And yet, in the natural, you would think, well, you can't prosper as much because you didn't put as much effort into it. Therefore, you can't get as much return. But it was just the opposite. Because they were resting and trusting in God and following His direction, the Jews prospered more with 6 days of work than the rest of the nations did with 7 days of work. And then in Leviticus chapter 25, you find where the Lord commanded not only do you take 1 day out of seven off, but you take 1 year out of 7 years off. That's a command in Leviticus chapter 25. And in the natural, people, there's no way you can survive. How are you going to survive if you can't plant your crops and harvest and do all of this kind of work? How are you going to make it? It clearly says that the Lord would bless them in the sixth year with triple a normal harvest. Just like clockwork, every sixth year they would get a triple harvest that would carry them through the sixth year, through the seventh year when they were taking off, as a Sabbath year, and then through the eighth year while they were planting their crops and waiting on the crops to come back up. And you know what? It was a deal about trusting God. You were supposed to keep this Sabbath year. And what it pictured was that, you know what, even though you're working, even though you're laboring, it is not your labor that is making this work. It is your relationship with God that's the key. You know, it's easy for people to say, oh yeah, God's my source. But then they just go back and they trust their own effort. And if there's a downturn in the economy and people start talking recession, instead of trusting God and continuing to give and continuing to plan on increase and success and prosperity, they get into fear and they start hoarding and they cut back on their giving and they do everything that all of the unbelievers did. See, it's easy for people to talk a good game, but how do you act it out? Well, he gave the Jews a very clear way of doing it. Take one day out of seven off. And in the natural, that was foolish. But because they were resting, trusting in God, God caused them to prosper more than the nations that worked 7 days out of seven. And then they took one out of 7 years off, and because they trusted in God, God caused them to prosper. And they prospered more than the people that worked 7 years out of 7 years. It was all about trusting God. It was all about resting in the Lord. That's what the Sabbath was a picture of. And people who are observing a day and going through all of these rituals and not doing certain things on a certain day, and they are priding themselves on being Sabbath keepers, and yet they don't trust in what God has done. It is all based on their effort. They've got to be holy. They've got to keep all of these commandments. They got to dot every I and cross every T. And if they don't do everything just right, God won't answer their prayers. God won't move in their life. Any person who believes that God moves in your life proportional to your holiness is a Sabbath breaker. And I don't care if you stay in church all day long on the actual Sabbath, and if you don't do certain things, I don't care about any of that. If you are a legalistic person that is trusting in your own performance and you take the weight and the burden of success upon yourself instead of trusting in God and casting your care upon Him, you are a Sabbath breaker. The Sabbath isn't just the observance of a day. It was instituted that way. It was enforced that way. I mean, even often with the penalty of death in the Old Covenant. But it was because it was picturing a New Testament relationship. You know what? I now have a Sabbath rest with the Lord that is observed every single day of every single year. I am resting in what Jesus has provided. And when I am under pressure to think, you've got to do something to make these things happen, and I say, no, I'm just hanging on to the Lord. I'm trusting in Him. I'm following what He tells me to do. If He tells me to do something, I'll do it. If He doesn't, I am going to rest. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm not going to make any decisions until God tells me what to do. I'm resting, relying upon Him. I've got peace in my heart. That's keeping the Sabbath, not the observance of some certain day. I know that what I've said has probably infuriated a lot of people, but I challenge you. I challenge you to go to Leviticus chapter 25. Go to the Old Testament scriptures on how strict the Sabbath is. And you know what? If you really just want to live under the Old Covenant Sabbath, then every one of you are breaking it. You can't just pick and choose and say, well, I'm going to observe it in principle but not in reality. No, if you want to live under the Sabbath, then probably every one of you should be put to death for the way that you're living on the Sabbath. But see, that was only a picture of something that was a New Testament reality. And in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, make it very clear that all of these things were only shadows of something that is now a physical reality in our relationship with Christ. What was it that the Sabbath shadowed? It shadowed resting in the Lord, trusting in what He has done instead of trusting in your own effort. And it's amazing, but the Sabbath today, the way that it is observed by most people, is the antithesis of what God intended. It's the exact opposite. instead of being something where it's all about what Jesus did for us, it's all about what you have to do. And unless you do this and this and this, God won't bless you. And the reason you're sick and the reason you're poor and the reason your marriage isn't working is because you broke the Sabbath and God is angry at you. And they are using the Sabbath for the exact opposite purpose of what it was intended. It was intended to show that God is our source. Just like when Adam and Eve were created, they immediately entered into the Sabbath. As soon as God finished creating Adam and Eve, He rested, and the Sabbath began. And man just entered into this Sabbath to where everything they needed, all of the air that they needed to breathe, it's already created. All of the food that they needed to eat, it was already created. The weather that they needed, it was already created. They didn't have to have air conditioners. They didn't have to have heaters. Everything was perfect. The land that they needed, it had already been created. Everything was perfect. Everything was just awesome. God had done everything, and then He rested because He was finished. It was complete. And man immediately entered into a Sabbath rest to where God had created everything. All He had to do was reach out and take it and just say thank you. It had already been provided. Likewise, through Jesus, everything you and I will ever need has already been provided. It's a done deal. You don't have to get God to do something. It's already accomplished. And you just need to rest in the fact that He's already forgiven you. And all you've got to do is receive that forgiveness. He's already healed you. All you've got to do is receive that healing. He's already prospered you. All you've got to do is receive the blessings. He's already favored you. Everything you need is already done. And all you've got to do is rest in that and believe it. And I can promise you there will be circumstances and people that come against you and tell you, oh no, you aren't well. You aren't prosperous. You don't have favor. And you're going to have a choice. Are you going to rest in what the Word of God says that has been promised? Are you going to, by faith, stay there and have peace rule in your heart? Or are you going to get into fear? Are you going to take care and worry upon yourself? Are you going to get anxious? Are you going to get into trying to make something happen? Get out of the rest of the Lord. And you have a choice. God has already provided everything. But as it says over in Hebrews chapter 4, where we started this, it says the Word preached unto us, it was preached unto us the same as it was preached unto them, but the Word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You have to believe this. You have to labor to get into the Word, to meditate in this, to get your faith built to where you can trust that God is really going to come through during that seventh year when you aren't working and aren't planting and you're just standing there and everybody else is out working their fields and you've got to, by faith, stand there and say, I believe that I'm going to follow what God told me to do, and it will prosper. Man, we're out of time today, but I tell you, this is good stuff. It could really, really help you. I'd like to encourage you to listen. Our announcer is going to give you some information about how you can get this teaching, the entire album, Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, or the individual teaching that will cover what I've talked about today, Entering into the Rest. And then please call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is now available in a new paperback book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. In addition, you can get this teaching and a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. This teaching was also recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled Entering the Rest, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Warwick, England this week for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th, in Lewisville, Texas, Wednesday, November 9th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th. He'll also be at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Sunday, November 13th, in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar, January 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 19th through the 21st. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
As a young child, Mary Decker suffered from a life-threatening case of asthma. Today, this second-year Charis Bible College student is totally healed and representing her nation as a member of Team USA in judo competition. A USA national champion, Mary recently took the bronze medal in the 2011 South American Championships in Santiago, Chile. This dynamic young lady is a shining example of what being a world changer is all about. Congratulations to CBC second-year student Mary Decker. Another changed life, changing lives.
I believe that God wants us to physically be well and to have prosperity and feel these things in the physical realm, but it all starts in the spirit, and faith is the way that that comes from the spirit into the physical realm. And if you can't believe for something that you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel, then you are shutting off the flow of God through you into the physical realm.
Join Andrew Womack for the Fort Worth, Texas Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through 12th. Log on to awmi.net for more information.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
The almost too good to be true news you can use. www.awmi.net. Basically, what he was doing,